This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Earlier this month, a group of teachers, parents, and other advocates walked 23 miles from Durham to Raleigh in a demonstration to demand more funding for public schools.
Ban the surplus!
The surplus is our kids!
The surplus is our kids!
The surplus belongs in our schools!
The surplus belongs in our schools!
The group asked for a meeting with Governor Pat McCrory. The governor declined. The 14 teachers linked arms and blocked the intersection at Fayetteville and Morgan Streets. The teachers were arrested and charged with resisting a public officer. In the days since their demonstration, the teachers have posted their mugshots to social media, along with reflections about why they protested. Those posts have gone viral. Two teachers were arrested that day, are with me in the studio. Anka Stefan is a teacher at the School for Creative Studies in Durham. Anka, thank you for being on the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Also with me is Leah Hendershot. She's a teacher at Southern Guilford Middle School in Greensboro. Hello, Leah.
Hi, how you doing?
We invited Governor McCrory to join us in this conversation. His office has not responded to our request. Anka, so tell us about this. What are the main reasons? What got you together for this protest?
Well, I've been teaching in North Carolina's public schools for 8 years, and I've seen the conditions my students learn in or are expected to learn in deteriorate over the 4 years with great acceleration. And it's really difficult when people entrust me with their kids' well-being, right? And I'm a parent, too. I know how much that means to parents, that I can see the neglect, that I can see the abuse, and I don't do anything about it. That feels wrong to me.
What do you see that shows you that the schools are underfunded?
The class sizes continue going up. Specialists in the building, for example, in Durham Public Schools, we used to have one autism specialist. That person is no longer being funded. So I feel like, you know, different kids have different learning needs. And it is our job to nurture kids and to meet them at the place where they need to be met and to help them grow.
One of the things they need is textbooks. You don't have those either, right?
We don't have textbooks.
And is that true? I mean, you literally do not have textbooks.
No, that is not an exaggeration. We have no textbooks. I have no textbooks.
For what course?
I taught both English and history for 8 years.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of those years I had textbooks and they were not updated. So you can imagine that history changes every year,
yeah.
Right?
Well, you don't need an updated history. Come on, history. Why don't you just teach 19th century history? Then you don't need a new textbook.
Yeah,
you're not being creative.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to learn and to respect
the
perspectives of history and to not be able to give that to kids or to spend enormous amounts of time having to find it myself.
Leah, tell us about you. Why did you join this protest?
I joined this protest as part of an organization that I began working with about a year ago. I feel very strongly about education. Of course, I believe that you know, it's a key component to a free society that we have to have public education, free public education for everyone, and that it should be equal and that it should be fair and that it should be fully funded. And I have been working in public schools now for 5 years, and I have seen just in 5 years a decline in the materials that I have available to me in my classroom, a decline in, you know, the space that we have and things like this. And so it's gotten to a place where I feel like my kids are in a crisis. My students need me, and they need other teachers, and they need parents and community members and administrators to stand up for them.
Yes. Well, so, as we've talked about it, when you adjust for inflation per, and again, the increase in enrollment across the state, when you take those two factors into account, we are not yet spending at the levels that we did before the Great Wall Street Recession.
That's
so.
Right.
One of the things we talk about then is, and again, other business indicators and other financial indicators have gone up. So that's part of what's at stake here. But you've also, in addition to funding, you've called for expansion of Medicaid and a repeal of HB2. Now, why?
Well, our students' needs don't stop at the classroom, at the school building door, right, at the classroom door. We as educators know that if our students come into school sick or hungry or their parents are at home sick, that they cannot possibly learn to the best of their ability. And we know that in order to have the best possible public education that we can, that we also need Medicaid, a fully funded Medicaid program, that we need kids to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick, We need, you know, children to have food when they're hungry. And I need to not have to spend money out of pocket as a teacher to buy sneakers for my kid because their parents can't earn a livable wage and buy them sneakers themselves.
I just want to speak a little bit about HP2. I think that people have trouble connecting those. And thank you for the question. We create safe spaces in school. Our job is to teach kids how to interact in society in a way that allows people to express their full potential, their potential as individuals, their potential in community. So when our kids have to already deal with adolescence, which is a very tumultuous time in everybody's life, and we've been talking about bullying and we see a rise in violence, right, and in hate crimes, and then we have legislation that justifies violence against kids for being different, that justifies ostracizing them, otherizing them, criminalizing them, punishing them for who they are, that's at odds with the very, very principles that we are built on as a nation, and that we hope for.
The governor would say that the governor, McCrory, says that's not what he did. That's not why he signed that at all. In fact, the reason Governor McCrory signed HB2 hours after it was passed was to make bathrooms in schools like yours and other places more safe.
Yeah, Governor McCrory says a lot of things like the new bill that is being passed is for to protect children, right? But it's really to silence teachers who want to fight for their kids. So there's a difference in perspective and there's a way to divide us, right? To divide teachers from their students, from parents. And really, we need to work together because we have no actual gain from like standing up and being arrested for the good of our kids other than we're fighting for the lives of our kids.
Yeah, and my bathrooms in my school are not safer. My students are not safer. They are in significantly more danger since HB2 has been passed. They are in danger of being bullied. They are in danger of being ostracized. And, you know, I know adults now who can reflect back to their middle school years and little bullying incidents, you know, that still affect them today. And I think about my kids, and this is the law. The governor made this bullying legal.
And let me tell you something that really helps Governor McCrory protect kids. Paying for Medicaid, like funding Medicaid, protects kids from sickness, from having to stay home to care for their sick relatives, and frees up their time so they can come to school and learn. That is something that protects kids. Funding public schools so there's fewer kids in every classroom so they can receive more individualized attention. Giving us supplies with which to teach and textbooks, that protects kids. Mm-hmm. So if Governor McCrory needs more guidance on how to properly protect kids, we would love to talk to him. That's what we asked for. We are experts in our field and parents are experts in their kids. And we really, really genuinely wanted a meeting with him to help him better understand the conditions of our kids and what helps our kids learn.
Well, look, the legislature might say, the leadership, GOP leadership might say, look, we're raising teacher pay, so therefore we're spending more on education. Now, please. Thank you.
That is, again, a complete misnomer. Raising teacher pay by eliminating teacher positions, by eliminating teaching assistants, is basically reducing the help that our kids need to properly learn and giving us the sort of bones of those people that have been like eliminated from the field. That is unethical. It is dirty politics. It is terrible language. And it's dishonest. And I think that if the public understood what that means, the public would not stand for it. And we've seen this in polls that like overwhelmingly in North Carolina, the public backs, higher funding for public schools. The public does not know that we have no textbooks, that we have no supplies, that there is no cap size for classroom size.
Yeah, and if McCrory had decided to take the time out of his schedule for fundraising for Trump to speak with educators and parents, he would know that overwhelmingly teachers do not prioritize their salaries, right? Teachers prioritize their kids. And that's what we do, and that's why we got into this field.
Well, talk about, forgive me for interrupting this thought, but I want to get back to the actual impact. You talked about, Anka, reducing the number of support staff and then increasing pay. So you basically take one out of one pot, give
that's
it to
right.
another, but the overall spending doesn't go up per pupil by much. What impact does that have? 32 kids in the class and no assistant. Then so what?
So I make, you know, 5 different lesson plans for the same lesson because my kids are different and we should honor that. And so the way we would honor that is we would have resource personnel in the building, people who are specifically trained in how to work with kids with learning disabilities, how to work with kids who are not on reading grade level, how to work on with kids who are autistic or who, you know, need read aloud or who need English as a second language, right? So we don't want to have those kids just deal with those weaknesses, right, on their own. We want to support them. We want to let them know that that's not a bad thing, that each of us has strong points and each of us needs supports in different places. So that's really what we need. We need well-trained personnel that is treated professionally, that staffs our classrooms so that our kids can learn and feel safe.
And specifically to address the teacher pay issue, just to loop back to that very quickly, I would like to say that, you know, this increase in pay, this 4.7%, that increase in my salary only barely covers the amount that I spend each year to supplement the needs of my classroom. So teachers are already coming out of pocket. They're already taking out of those very low salaries to supplement these needs. And what you're trying to do is to add a little bit bump in salary, but we know that that's just going to take out of our classrooms and we're just going to have to put that right back into them because we care about our kids and we're not going to stand around and watch them.
Or parents are going to have to send money to school. Like so often we have to write emails and ask parents, hey guys, sorry, we know it's just October, but we've run out of hand sanitizer. We've run out of markers for the board.
Well,
that,
sounds like
that's more money coming out of parents' pockets, right. People who are underpaid also, who are overworked also.
Sounds like you could use parent volunteers to staff the nursing's office, right? The nursing office.
We don't need charity. We need policy.
Wait, I'm saying, which school has the nurse who comes on Tuesdays?
Every school.
Only once for 3 hours on a Tuesday?
It's not just nurses. It's psychologists, it's social workers, people who
counselors,
people who are trained to offer this help and this assistance, and they've been told that they actually have to work part-time at 4 schools. Can you imagine the way that they can build relationships with kids who need that kind of relationship support? It's impossible. We're being set up to fail. And we are done pretending like that's not happening. And we're done pretending like we can digest language like we're getting teacher raises. That is beside the point. That is not what we're fighting for at all. That would be nice on top of fulfilling basic needs of survival for our students. But we are not there. It is not time to have that conversation now.
What about getting arrested? The idea that you're setting a bad example for your kids. You're breaking the law, Leah.
Ever heard of civil disobedience?
Yeah, we teach our students that that in order to be citizens, you have to be able to stand up and voice your opinion and have your voice heard. And that's something that we decided to do together.
Yeah. When you're being told to operate in an unjust system, the only thing that makes sense is to stand up against that system. And we didn't do it in a violent way, right? Like we very intentionally were peaceful. We very intentionally, that was not our first step. We asked for a meeting. That is the most respectable thing you can ask for. I mean, we do those all the time. We think that conversation, dialogue, and communication are conducive to growth. That's what we do in our jobs. That's what we teach our students. And then there comes a point when you see neglect and you see abuse, and you simply cannot allow for things to continue going on without speaking against those things. And that's the point we're at. And actually, we're past that point in this country, right, and in the state.
Well, I want to repeat, we also offered the governor the opportunity to have that dialogue again here on the show, and we haven't heard back from his office, but we've had the request in for quite a while.
It's a continuing pattern. To ignore
Let me ask
educators.
You this. It's interesting, Aka, because you say in the piece that you filed both, you did postings, posted your mugshot along with a brief kind of essay on the experience itself. And Aka, you talked about being arrested and the arresting officers and people in the police department being very sympathetic to it, you're doing.
Yeah, we received an incredible amount of support from our communities. And it's not like that's a surprise, right? Because we know that what we do every day is we work with people's kids, and that parents appreciate that. The parents hope for that. The parents want that. And so these cops or parents, I've heard from people that I went to high school with that I haven't kept in touch with. I've heard from people I don't know all over the state in all sorts of communities who are so encouraged by by seeing that there is a movement to actually ask for what students deserve, and that we reject the frame that we are fighting for or raising our voices for our own benefit. That is not the frame that we want to adopt.
Legislature is considering a bill that would make it tougher on teachers who get arrested, make it tougher for them to be recertified.
They make it tough for us every day. They make it tough for us every day. They make it tough for our kids every day. We are not surprised. We are not surprised that a governor who will not meet with educators, who will not meet with the students' parents in his state, but who professes on every channel that he has done more for education than any governor or whatever. I don't know what crazy statistics he's citing because they are not based in fact. But a governor who constantly rejects dialogue and meeting, yeah, it's not a surprise that then we'll allow for a bill that silences people who speak for the interest of their students.
Leo, what's next for you? And Anka, I'll ask you the same thing. Where does this go from here? Is this the end of it?
No. Oh, we're not finished.
We can't be.
Absolutely not.
We can't let it be.
We can't. We recognize when we went into this march, when we went down to rally, we've been doing this work for a long time. We have attended school board meetings. We have called our state legislators. And, you know, we know that going forward, we have to continue this work. This is for our kids, and it is work that we are charged with doing.
Leah Hendershot is a teacher in Guilford County Schools. Anka Stefan is a teacher in Durham Public Schools. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Repeating again, we did say ask the governor to be a part of this program, and we haven't heard back from the office. You can find out more about the show and all that we've talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Shelton Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brett Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.